In 2015, Pope Francis traveled to Asia, to North and South America, and to Africa. He issued a major environmental document and chaired a contentious bishops' meeting on family issues. As NPR's Silvia Poggioli reports, one of the world's most popular figures continued to champion the poor, reform the Vatican, and spark debates within and without the Church.
When he was elected pope, one of Francis's potential shortcomings was lack of international experience. Less than 3 years later, he's a major player on the global stage. Visiting Havana and Washington in September, Francis was hailed for his crucial role in the U.S.-Cuba thaw. And the first pope from the global south, says papal biographer Marco Politi, was prophetic in urging a multilateral effort to combat the Islamic State.
This was the pope who spoke already 1 year ago about the new risk of a Third World War in bits and pieces. So he had understood that it is necessary that the whole international community stops this threat.
The Pope's encyclical on the environment was a devastating critique of a model of economic growth based on frenetic consumerism. Widely cited by world leaders, its message reached millions of people, Catholics and not. Last month, Francis became the first pope to visit an active war zone, the Central African Republic. In the capital, Bangui, he jump-started the Jubilee Year of Mercy by opening the cathedral's holy door, a symbolic gesture of his closeness to the suffering population. On the official start of the Jubilee in Rome on December 8th, Francis reiterated the focal issues of his pontificate, mercy and the poor.
Dobbiamo anteporre la misericordia.
We have to put mercy before judgment. Let us set aside all fear and dread. Instead, let us experience the joy of encountering that grace which transforms all things.
Misericordia, the Latin word for mercy, says church historian Massimo Fagioli, means close in our heart to the poor.
There is a very radical social vision of Francis here. For him, poor and mercy means a certain view of the economy, of criminal justice, of the social role of the Catholic Church, of ecumenism, of everything.
That message is disturbing to many Catholics. Their unease emerged at the synod, the bishops' meeting on the family, in several nasty incidents. In a leaked letter, 13 conservative cardinals complained the synod was rigged to get predetermined results. And in interviews, some bishops vented their anxieties about the synod outcome. Francis had urged open and frank debate, but the derogatory tone some bishops used toward him revealed a deeply divided church. In his closing speech, Francis took a swipe at conservatives, saying the true defenders of doctrine are not those who uphold its letter, but its spirit. Francis has also made substantial progress in bringing transparency to the Vatican's once murky finances, but there is strong resistance to his efforts to overhaul the entrenched bureaucracy. Referring to the Pope's last name, papal biographer Politi tells a joke circulating in the Vatican.
20% of the people in the Curia are pro Bergoglio, 10% are open adversaries, and 70% are waiting for the next pope.
Politi points out that Francis turned 79 this month. Despite his apparent good health, it might be time, he says, to start looking at potential successors.
If the revolution envisaged by Pope Francis has to last, then it will be important to see whether his successor will be such a personality who will be able patiently to bring the whole church on the level desired by Pope Francis.
In the meantime, Francis has made clear that during this holy year he will continue to champion the poor, the marginalized, and the oppressed, seeking them out on the peripheries of society, and that he will pursue his vision of the Catholic Church as a field hospital that cares for the social and spiritual wounds caused by the modern world. Silvia Poggioli, NPR News, Rome.